a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
I'm here at the University of Western Ontario with Alex D'Souza, who is a grad student here in London. Alex, tell us about your work.
Sure, I'd love to. My primary interest is in star formation, the mechanisms of where stars form in our galaxy, how they do that, and the processes involved. Although we do understand that stars do form from the collapse of molecular clouds under their own self-gravity, because of the densities of the dust and gas involved, it's actually technologically right now impossible to peer into the inner envelope of where the actual star is forming. So the physical processes, such as the role of magnetic fields, gravitational turbulence, and the varying degree to which those processes play a part, is still very poorly understood.
Okay. You mentioned that we can't really peer into the molecular clouds. Is that what wavelengths are we talking about there? Because isn't radio astronomy
That's
useful?
Right. The radio astronomy is useful. And the primary wavelength that we're involved with is the submillimeter regime. So this is a few 0.1 micrometers all the way up to 100 micrometers. Radio astronomy, although it is useful, and it is primarily the wavelength that we use to peer through such high densities of gas and dust, during star formation, the density of the gas and dust can reach orders of magnitude larger than what we're used to seeing in the interstellar medium. And it's because of that even to these wavelengths that the gas and dust can become opaque.
Okay, so what's your particular interest within star formation?
So particularly, we're interested in how gas, after the star has formed, how is angular momentum transferred from the molecular cloud to the star? If you were to take a typical molecular cloud that you might find in a galaxy, these molecular clouds have orders and orders of magnitude of angular momentum. And what we find is that in a typical star, once it's born, has about 5 to 6 orders of magnitude less angular momentum.
So we've got a missing chunk.
So we have a missing chunk. And why this is important is because if we're familiar with the concept of conservation of angular momentum, which we think is a very crucial law in physics, and then that angular momentum has to be conserved. It can't just disappear. It has to be going somewhere. So the remnant of these molecular clouds, the gas and the dust, we believe then forms disks around. As the star sort of spins up, the disk that was in the surrounding envelope is forced into a disk that surrounds this. And it's within this disk that angular momentum is transferred. And it's in this transfer process that gives rise to the formation of planets and planetary structures.
Okay. So just thinking then, what about stars on their own? There's nothing wrong with the angular momentum there, is there?
There's nothing wrong with the angular momentum on their own, except for the fact that they seem to be missing this chunk.
Ah. So if it's not going into a planetary system, where is it going?
So we do think it is going into the planetary system.
Okay.
But then how is that angular momentum being distributed? All that gas and dust must end up onto the star. And what seems to be happening is that in the case of our own solar system, for example, we have about 99.9% of all the mass concentrated in the Sun. And that remaining tiny portion of mass, which is largely represented in Jupiter, seems to be carrying all the excess angular momentum.
Okay.
So all that angular momentum initially in this molecular cloud, after it's put into the star and the star turns on and forms, a tiny fraction of the mass is loaded up with the remnants of that angular momentum and pushed way, way off.
Okay, so that's a fairly simple start of this is how stars form, this is how planets form.
Exactly.
So what is your work that carries on from this?
So I'm interested in the process or the description, the physical description of what's happening within these disks. We try to model these disks of gas forming around the stars as a fluid, and so we use the typical equations of fluid dynamics. Mm-hmm. And the way angular momentum or mass can be transferred in these systems is with a viscosity. So how do we describe a system of gas and dust together? What sort of viscosity do we assign to it? because, as we talked earlier about the opacities involved and how dense these gases are, it's very difficult to get a clear description of the actual size of grains, particles of dust, how they're clumping together, how they're forming. Mm-hmm. What is the role of magnetic fields in stirring up this mixture or acting as a sort of a barrier to the accretion flows? As clumps of gas and dust accrete together to form planetesimals, they affect the local gravitational potential of these disks, which gives rise to further turbulence. Mm-hmm. We have a general understanding of the different mechanisms that could be in play, but to what degree do they affect the actual formation of the disk? We don't know.
Okay. Do you have any answers at all?
I like to put my money on gravitational turbulence.
Okay.
We do know that magnetic fields play some form of a role in the formation of these disks and how they go on to evolve. But it seems that gravitational torques and turbulence are a primary mechanism in maintaining stable disks.
So that's where you'll have a clump of matter within the disk, and this will form sort of eddies in the fluid?
That's exactly correct. So these gravitational, you can think of many potentials forming up in the disk around these planetesimals that give rise to local turbulence.
Mm-hmm.
But the nature of the gas and the viscosity, how it flows through the disk, means that the local turbulence can actually affect the global dynamics of how the disk continues to evolve. And often if you get a clump of matter that's large enough, it can actually cause the disk to fragment as it sweeps up material in its particular orbit and causes material from the inside to sort of more quickly accrete onto the disk and acts as a barrier from external material from falling inward.
Mm-hmm. And of course we see that in our own solar system where the planets are very carefully balanced against each other.
And that's exactly what we think has happened to our own solar system.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Alex D'Souza, thank you very much for coming.
Thanks very much for having me.